Welcome to Catalytic Leadership, the podcast designed to help leaders intentionally grow and thrive. Here is your host, author, and leadership and executive coach, Dr. William Attaway.
Hey, it's William, and welcome to today's episode of the Catalytic Leadership Podcast. Each week, we tackle a topic related to the field of leadership. My goal is to ensure that you have actionable steps you can take from each episode to grow in your own leadership. Growth doesn't just happen. My goal is to help you become intentional about it. Each week, we spotlight leaders from a variety of fields, organizations, and locations. And my goal is for you to see that leaders can be catalytic no matter where they are or what they lead. I draw inspiration from the stories and journeys of these leaders, and I hear from many of you that you do too. Let's jump into today's interview. I'm so excited today to have Emmanuel Rose on the podcast. Emmanuel is a renowned expert in his field. He specializes in branding, advertising, and day-to-day operations at his digital agency, Strategic E-Marketing. He has spent over three decades earning a reputation in cutting-edge marketing. His passion lies in helping companies achieve business success from the bottom to the top. Emmanuel's unique approach to marketing strategies has resulted in countless clients reaching their goals. He enjoys learning his craft and implementing new techniques and theories for his clients, not only in his home state of Oregon, but around the world. Together with his hand-selected staff, Emmanuel creates opportunities while solving challenges in the ever-changing digital landscape. He is a firm believer in using his personal experiences to help others. Emmanuel, I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, William. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. I would love for you to share some of your story with our listeners, Emmanuel, particularly around your journey and your development as a leader. How did you get started?
Well, I started out as one of those crazy four-year-old kids who wanted to get a boomerang but had to sell seeds door to door to get the money to
nice.
Buy the boomerang.
Nice. I love it. Entrepreneur at four.
You know, the parents walk me around and put the little thing up to the lady and she orders two pumpkin packs and, you know, that sort of thing. So,
nice.
You know, that's just how I think I was wired. I love sales and marketing. I've done it obviously my whole life. I started my first mail order company when I was like 18.
Wow.
It was back in the early days of the rebound of hemp, right? The fabric and twine and all those things. And so I had a company. I would make hemp bracelets. I'd take them to festivals and sell bracelets. And then there started to be more and more products. And so I sold that mail order. And
nice.
I loved going to the mailbox and having orders there, right? Like,
yes.
Like getting the email from your website now. It says, hey, you have an order.
That's right.
Woohoo. I have to go to the P.O. box to do that. Yeah. And then, you know, over the years, I worked for a few companies as product manager, and which is a really good sales and marketing combo role. And I had a big bonus that I got reneged on after I did my part. And then the role I had right after that, I was brought in to be a change agent and they told me not to do anything for 90 days. And then after 90 days, they fired me. And
what?
And so, you know, I was sitting with myself and counseling myself, I'm like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And so it's about 14 years ago. And that's when, you know, social media was just really starting to take off as an obvious track and path of advertising and marketing. And so I got one chapter ahead of a couple of companies and got a few clients, some of which I still have.
Wow.
This entire time, which.
My goodness.
Those guys, they're patient companies. But now it's kind of flipped where I'm one chapter ahead again.
I love it. As long as you stay one chapter ahead, that's all you need, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that speaks volumes, Emmanuel. I mean, for somebody to retain a client in the digital marketing landscape for 14 years, that's pretty unusual. What would you say? How would you say you've done?
Well, I think, you know, we as leaders, as entrepreneurs, as business managers, we're always looking to kind of balance that. How much do I give to my clients, and where am I in a negative margin situation, and how much is my time worth? Yeah. And I'm pretty much, I never say no. And I'm like that with all my clients. I never say no. And I want what they want as much as they want it. Right. Like,
nice.
And some people understand that and can connect with that. And some people have a hard time understanding that and get lost from that conversation. But that's what I breed in myself. That's what I breed in my team. And we just pretty much never say no. Sometimes we say yes, and, you know, and I need to bill you, or yes, and I'll take it on, and we'll make that our expense. But it's really it's a form of love, I think, right? Where you care about somebody else and their concerns as much as you care about yourself.
You've been in this business long enough that I bet you can see trend lines. Like over a long distance, you know, people who are brand new to the field, they haven't been in it long enough to see that. But with your experience and track record, what trend lines are you seeing right now that you think businesses need to be aware of?
Well, the first one, and I'm shocked that this has become an issue again, but we're back in this interruption marketing space with pop-ups.
Yeah.
Especially this time of the year, it's insane. Right. I did a search for a turkey vest for my son-in-law, turkey hunting vest, and I want to get him, you know, the nice one and all the stuff, right? Go to a website through Google search, and I don't just get one pop-up, which is asking me for my information to get a discount for putting in my email, but then I get a second pop-up on top of their first pop-up.
Oh man, persistent.
At that point, I just hit the X and I went to next, right? Yep. This is not my job to give you my information. Your job is to give me the product that I want and to do it in the quickest time possible.
Yes.
And there's lots of competition out there. And you know, you lose money by being what I call lazy marketer. Mm-hmm. And that's a programming issue that company has, right? Like they didn't think through their funnel at all. And the interruption marketing is one trend that I think we're going to see disappear because of that.
Again, I hope you're right.
Pop-up blocker. It's time for that old Yahoo right. Pop-up blocker.
That's right. Bring it out of mothballs.
Yeah. I think the other thing that I've seen is that, and again, it's in the lazy marketer category, which is this spray and pray mentality that the marketing agencies and businesses are having. Yeah. You know, you're getting emails and text messages that got the wrong name in it, that got a blank where the name goes. So you know immediately that it's nothing you ever signed up for, and it's not anything that you're interested in at this time. So I think and this is where AI can help us with the hyper-personalization if you take the time to craft it properly. But we have to come from a philosophy of hyper-personalization, and that, for instance, you know, I got a new client that does IT services. He's really concerned about his sales process. So I bought him one of my favorite books by Anthony Iannarino, who's a B2B sales genius. I got him some notepads with his name and his company logo on them. And that's my thank you and welcome gift is nice. Very personalized stuff. Not anything about me. It's all about him. So that hyper-personalization is one of the trends that we need to pay attention to in order to stand out as small business, because we can't compete on the spray and pray.
That's good. So I have to ask, being a book lover as I am, what's the name of the book that you got?
Let's see. This one, Anthony's a prolific writer. He's this one is Elite Sales Strategy. And the simple part of it from his perspective is to do exactly what you're saying, which is what are the trends that are coming up? And then how do you present options to capture those trends for your clients? And how do you, you build that custom plan based on what their objectives are?
That's really insightful. And I think anybody who's in the space, whether they're in marketing agency world or just an entrepreneur starting their own business, if they're not aware of those type of trend lines, if they're not a student of the space, a perpetual student of the space, it's so easy to fall behind at the pace at which things are moving. Has that been your experience?
Absolutely. And I think I call it the engineer effect, right? Like we engineer this product or service, you know, me as an agency owner, you know, I've got these things I like to sell, right? Yeah. That are high margin. We can crank them out. It's easy peasy. But if the client doesn't need it, I'm not trying to fit them into that product. I'm trying to fit my product into what they need, right?
So that
over-engineer is one of the challenges that we fall into and that we get out of date because of that philosophy.
Mm. You know, I would love to unpack that just for a minute because I think that's so good. Not taking your favorite product and making it fit everybody, no matter whether they need it or not. That's a trap. And that is a trap I see a lot of people falling into. How do you avoid that? How are you intentional about avoiding that trap?
It is, for me, it's about listening to what, listening and summarizing in that Carl Rogers process of, you know, saying, so what I'm hearing you say is ABC, is that accurate? They say, yeah. And then, well, if you prioritize that, what's the list of priorities? Where do you think 80% more income could come from? You know, whatever those questions are based on what their outcomes are. That's what I'm digging into. And so for the instance, this IT company, I heard four things. I helped him prioritize the list because he wasn't sure. And the CEO. And so then that's the scope of work. And then as we got deeper in the contract, he's like, well, I think these three things are really the things that are the issue. And the fourth thing we can deal with later. Like, okay, cool.
Perfect. Yeah.
And so so that's my goal is to listen, reflect, and then build the program for them. And I'm going to be able to do some of my favorite things that are high margin, easy peasy, but it, under the sconce of his needs, not my needs. Yeah.
So well said. I think spinning that around and looking at their needs first, and that's what I'm hearing, that intentionality of asking the right questions, because you're never going to get the right answers unless you ask the right questions and then listen and leveraging active listening. So what I'm hearing you say, that's so spot on. So these are trends that we've talked about, like trends from the past going forward into the present. What do you see out there? What do you see in the future? Like, is there stuff that you see on the horizon for marketers that, man, it's starting to emerge? I mean, AI, of course, is all the rage. Everybody's talking AI. But what do you see, given your track?
I think we're going to reach an uncomfortable spot here where with the AI in particular, right? Because right now, good use of AI requires us as marketers to think like a programmer. And I'll tell you, I'm not good at that. I'm a philosopher. I'm a big picture thinker. I can write 10 strategic plans in the next hour for 10 different industries.
Wow.
But I can't write an AI prompt.
Get ChatGPT to give you exactly what you want, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, like that. Yeah. So it's getting sophisticated enough where we're going to be able to layer on, you know, keywords, persona, look at this blog post written, look at these 10 LinkedIn posts from this executive, where we can build out, you know, a 25 layer prompt that then can generate not just a content calendar and 90 days of email and 150 social posts and images and a product description. You know, I mean, in not the too distant future, we're going to be able to get all that content. And then somebody's going to have to read that and make sure it's on point. There's no hallucinations in it. And that it's on brand and influencer brand. But we still are going to have some amount of philosophy and creativity, right? So we're going to end up with these marketing engineers who can speak that. And then we're still going to need the marketing philosophers like the space that I inhabit. But there's going to be less need for less of me.
Which is not the worst thing, right? Because then it frees you up to do the things that only you can do.
Yeah. It'll free me up to go spend more time outside meditating.
Which brings me to another question. We had talked previously, and you mentioned that you're finishing a book on solitude in nature. Now, that is not something I would have expected somebody in the digital marketing world to be writing. I would love to hear more about that project.
Yeah, so I'm a lifelong outdoorsman. I was lucky to get born into a family that taught me to fly fish and hunt at a young age, and we were campers and backpackers my whole life. And so as I was working on my book about authentic marketing to Gen Z and understanding how technology is impacting our brain and developing TikTok brain and lack of impulse control and all the biochemical changes that are not positive. I thought about it and I was like, well, you know, so that means I need to work on this other book. Mm-hmm. That's the antidote for that, because yeah, I don't want to just contribute to the problem and see the mm-hmm. problem. I want to do something about it.
Love that.
And then through my reflection, which my commitment to myself is that a week a month I spend outside disconnected, and that's because that's what it takes to enjoy my hobbies, right? And I always wrap in absolute solitude, disconnected time, and then you know come to find out all the challenges that are listed biochemically are neutralized by the activity that I'm doing. So there's kind of a natural balance, which is probably why I've been able to do this for as long as I have, right? And not have to put a pin in it and do something different in terms of being connected to digital marketing. So anyway, that's the genesis of it. And what I outline in the book is, you know, it's a simple 7-step process that is about planning and about picking a spot where you're safe and having people look at you if they need to from a distance and spending time either listening to good content that our podcasts are going to encourage you to think about what it is to be a human, spend time praying, meditating, whatever your religious philosophy is, and then build a list of activities you're going to do once you get back, and then stay in touch with it through that special time in the morning to pray or meditate every day. And that's what it keeps me full. It keeps me energetic and keeps me able to do what I do. And the science backs it up that those activities are important for high performers.
You know, I talk to so many people who are struggling because they are all caught up in the hustle and grind culture. And in the digital marketing world, I think that is just normal. You know, just run harder, run faster, deliver more,
right?
And then rinse and repeat. And what you're describing is very countercultural to that, because you're making sure that you get what you need. You're making sure your cup is full before you try to pour it out for somebody else. You're not trying to serve your clients with the leftovers. You're making sure you're in a healthy spot so you can serve them at the highest capacity level.
Yeah, and it's stay in touch with who am I and why am I here, right?
Yeah,
and it's not just to be earning unit in the economy, right? There's a lot more about being a human being, and like you're saying, I'm able to provide much better services to my clients and to my team as the leader. If I'm in a space of being grounded and centered and understanding what our objectives are.
And I imagine if I were to talk to your team members, they would be thrilled that you do that because it makes you a healthy leader. You're leading them from a healthy place, from a balanced place.
Yeah, exactly. And able to see the big picture. And when there are the scrapes and tussles, either internally or with the clients, that, you know, I can be the ground one to bring us back to, okay, well, what is our purpose here? And do we cut this client loose because they're too complicated psychologically, or is it on our side? And do we figure some things out and not get into the struggle and the survival mentality?
That's so good. I can't wait to read your book. When is it supposed to come out?
Well, I'm in the final edits right now, so I would think sometime in December, I'll probably be able to get some advanced copies out. Yeah,
I'll look forward to that. I think that's going to be an outstanding addition to the bookshelf of every leader who's listening.
No, thank you.
Because I find that I really don't encounter a whole lot of people who lead from a place of calm control, who lead from a place of balance. Mm-hmm. Too many people are trying to run at a pace that is unhealthy and unsustainable. And I think your book is going to be on the solution side to that problem.
Yeah, and that is the challenge, right? We do, I mean, there's a balance between working hard enough and long enough hours to get a new product or service over that that hump, right?
Yeah.
So we know we have to go through these periods of hard work, but we also have to have these little periods of celebration or relax. And so a lot of times we do that with our group or a team or a family, and that's cool. But then we got to have time for ourselves. Otherwise, like you're talking about, we end up and you get that, 20 years later, I bounced between 6 jobs and I've been running as hard as I can and nothing worked. And I'm not happy and my wife's not happy. My kids don't want to talk to me. And that's no way to live. We know that.
Yeah. But too many people, that's what they think is what it takes to win.
Right.
And I put win in quotes because that's not winning. You and I both, I think, would agree on that. Let me ask you, Manuel, you're a different leader today than you were 5 years ago.
For sure.
And your business is going to need you to lead at a better and higher level a year, 5 years from now than where you are today. What do you do to intentionally level up? How do you make sure you're going to be the leader you need to be a year, 5 years from now?
But absolutely paying attention to the trends, right? That's mm-hmm. So AI, obviously in marketing space is, and I don't even know what's going on with AI in other spaces because it's so all encompassing in this space, right?
Yeah.
So the paying attention to the trends and understanding how we're going to have to morph and change and be what it is to be an agency in a year. And how do I see that transpiring and how do I find those clients? Right. Cause I'm still the primary salesperson for my agency. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. The other thing is that I get coaching, I get help. Mm-hmm. And I'm very committed. I'm committed lifelong learner. If I'm reading, I'm watching, I'm listening to podcasts and books and then have a coach. If you look at a professional golfer or a professional football player, people at the highest levels of their art, they have a team of 7 or 8 coaches,
Yeah, they do.
So the continuing learning and coaching and then trying things out and seeing what works and what doesn't work and where can I implement things and where can I not implement things? And I have to get help doing it because I'm inadequate in that space. And I'm okay with that. I know who I am. I'm a philosopher. I'm a big picture guy. I'm never going to do my own accounting because of that.
I love that. I think that is maturity because so many people, so many business owners think they have to be great at everything and think that, if it's part of running a business, then I've got to do it. I've got to be No, you have a zone of genius. You have things that you're great at. You need to discover what that is and make sure you're spending as much of your time as possible in that zone and then get other people to help you with the other things.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think it was Jim Rohn who talked about that, who was always like, make that list of all the things that you do and what are you good at? And get better at the things you're good at, because that's going to be easy.
Yes, exactly. It'll also be more fun.
Yeah. Right?
If we put you in an accounting hat and say, you got to do that for 8 hours a day, it's not going to be long before you're going to be a little tired of that.
Yeah. No, I couldn't. I couldn't even last the day. I tell you.
That's awesome. So looking ahead for your business, like, if you look out a year, you look out 12, 24 months, what is one thing you really want to see happen in your business?
Well, I really want to pull together a suite of AI tools and a process to use them and get those embedded with my clients, right? Because that will allow us, my team, to get rid of that and jettison that kind of routine work. And they're going to want to do that anyway, bring some of these things in-house. Right. And that's great. That's the natural flow. Yeah. And then for us to keep being out there nibbling at the edges to bring in and understand where AI is inadequate and where the space that we inhabit in the new world of AI. And it might be that we're more of a lead gen or relationship organization is what marketing will turn into, right? Where we're humanizing and authenticating this AI content versus generating all the content.
So you become more of a strategy partner.
Yeah. Yeah. And then linking people, you know?
Yes. That relationship linking and that partnering around strategy, these are things I have not seen AI have the capacity to do. But that is something that people are fantastic at. Hey, you know what? You're looking at this. You know, I know somebody. I know somebody I think you should talk to. Yeah. And we begin to foment those connections. That is something I think that can really be valuable in the right space, in the right time, at the right moment. That's something that I think you could really be great at.
Yeah, I agree. And that is back to this idea of how I'm committed to my community and I'm committed to the things that I'm interested in, right? Yeah. And Ducks Unlimited and Camp Jack Hazard, where I was a staff person and still taking kids on backpacking trips. And, you know, so I have these fears that I'm committed to, and AI will be able to tell a story about what those things are in a one-dimensional or even a two-dimensional way, but it will never be able to do what you're saying, right? Which is, hey, you know, I know the CEO of Patagonia. I'm going to lift the phone up and call him and say, you know, what do you think about this idea? Right. Yes. That's not, at least as we understand it, that's not a possibility yet.
Absolutely. And it leans into that whole philosophy side of things, right? The why. Why do you take kids at this place? Why do you take them out backpacking? Right. Because of the difference this made in your life.
Yeah.
Right. It's such a big part of who you are. And when something's that big of a part of us, we want to share it.
Absolutely. And and if it creates a health issue, then that's a whole nother reason, right? That's the bigger picture for me is that to see the negative side of it and the lack of impulse control and the lack of connection and the fear of missing out, all these really dark parts of the human psyche, it's our job as people who see that to do something to neutralize that, because it's not going to just hurt us. It's going to hurt our families in the future.
So good. Thinking not just about ourselves, but about the ones yet to come. I think that is a higher level of leadership. If you could go back and talk to yourself at the beginning of your journey, you can go back and talk to yourself decades ago when you were just getting started, knowing what you know now, what would you love to go back and tell yourself?
Yeah, I think it does tie into what we just had, which is this idea that relationships are really what are the most important thing, and to hold on to my networks with more care. And, you know, in the industries that I'm not a part of anymore, I still could use those networks and I could still be a valuable help to those people. And that I was in a rush. I wanted to get the next big product out. I wanted to get the next big sale. I wanted to grow the company and every project, you know, the push, push, push.
Yeah.
But, you know, and 30 years later, I would much rather have the relationships with those people because the products have been changing every time. Right.
That's interesting because I think that plays into what you do now and the relationships you've built. I keep going back to, you know, you've still got some of the same clients you had 14 years ago. That's just so uncommon. But I think that's the natural outgrowth of that learning you just described.
Yeah.
How important relationships are.
Yeah. That's interesting. And it reminds me of in Gandhi's autobiography, he says, you know, the a man's highest order is to find one woman and to love her, and to love her as the verb is my interpretation of it, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And that there cannot ever be world peace until there's peace within one man, and then he can work for world peace. And those two things are related in that, in the commitment to a focus on yourself in a functional way, and then linking that back to what we were talking about with the loving the clients in that same way.
There's a reason I believe that I use this analogy all the time. When you get on an airplane, you know, they tell you, you know, if the oxygen mask drops, make sure you put it on yourself first.
Right.
Yeah. Then assist the people with you. And I think that is so true in so many spheres of our life. Yeah. You cannot lead in a healthy way if you are not leading yourself in a healthy way. And you are the hardest person you will ever lead.
It's true. The challenge that we have in this culture is that we think that our opinions and our likes are about us, right? Like, because I want my Starbucks a certain way, or I don't like tomatoes. That's not knowing yourself.
Right.
That those are just opinions about very, very light topics. Knowing yourself is about what you're afraid of, and yeah, what you're really hoping to accomplish, and what you really want to see happen in the world, and being afraid of those things, but still working to push forward on those things. And so that delineation, I think, is where people get captured. They think, oh, I really want to have this new Lexus, and that's what I'm about. Well, no, that's not what you're about. That's the little ego that's looking for some validation. But yep, what is it that you're here to do, and are you doing it?
Yep. Exactly. The why, the real driving why.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like, you know. And I think that's why you come across in both of our conversations so far, you come across as one who is leading from a place of calm control, a place of balance and center. And that is very uncommon, Emmanuel.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, no. And I tell you, it's simple, but it's not easy, right? It's simple in that every day I get up and I meditate and I pray.
Yeah.
And every month I get outside and I meditate and I pray. So it's simple.
Yeah.
But it's not easy because I have to schedule it. I have to protect it. I have to pay for it. And I have to do it. It's just not in my head. I have to actually go and do it.
Yes. And the intentionality of what you just described is the model. And I hope everybody listening is grabbing onto that, because I think that is a model we can all learn from. You're a continual learner. And I ask every guest this, is there a book that has made a big difference in your journey, one that you would recommend that every leader listening pick up and add to their to read list?
I would say for me, it's Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse.
Hmm.
And it's a German writer writing about Hindu philosophy.
Yeah.
And talking about the human process, and that no matter what the circus and the parade and the gesticulations that we make in our lives, we're going to end up at the same place as everybody else. Mm-hmm. And for me, that gave me a sense of freedom, mm-hmm, in that not having to make the correct decision.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. I've not read this book. Now I've got to check it out.
All right.
Typically, Emmanuel, people will walk away from an episode like this with one big idea. If you could define for them what you want that one big idea to be, what would you say that to be?
One big idea is to put the cell phone down for a minimum of 2 hours once a week, and mm-hmm, go for a walk next to a creek in the weather, and take some time to yourself to have an inferential walk, a meander in your mind, as well as a physical break.
I know people are going to want to stay connected with you and continue to learn from you. Emmanuel, what is the best way for them to do that?
I have a website that's emmanuelrose.com, and that's got all the current activities that I'm involved in.
I love that. And we can find out more about your books there.
Absolutely. And on Amazon also, however you want to do it.
Outstanding. Thank you for the generosity that you've shown today in sharing so honestly and so openly from what you've learned so far.
You bet. Well, I appreciate it. You're very warm and engaging yourself. I appreciate that, William.
Thanks for joining me for this episode today. As we wrap up, I'd love for you to do two things. First, subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. And if you find value here, I'd love it if you would rate it and review it. That really does make a difference in helping other people to discover this podcast. Second, if you don't have a copy of my newest book, Catalytic Leadership, I'd love to put a copy in your hands. If you go to catalyticleadershipbook.com, you can get a copy for free. Just pay the shipping so I can get it to you and we'll get one right out. My goal is to put this into the hands of as many leaders as possible. This book captures principles that I've learned in 20 plus years of coaching leaders in the entrepreneurial space, in business, government, nonprofits, education, and the local church. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn to keep up with what I'm currently learning and thinking about. And if you're ready to take a next step with a coach to help you intentionally grow and thrive as a leader, I'd be honored to help you. Just go to catalyticleadership.net to book a call with me. Stay tuned for our next episode next week. Until then, as always, leaders, choose to be catalytic.
Thanks for listening to Catalytic Leadership with Dr. William Attaway. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss the next episode. Want more? Go to catalyticleadership.net.